superstar athletes, they figure hugely in the lives of sports fans for a while, because eventually they move on. Maybe it's a year, maybe a whole career. I just know Boston fans can identify with that right now, because former Patriots quarterback Tom Brady is headed to his 10th Super Bowl without us. And I gotta ask you.
Oh, say it ain't so, Tommy. Say it ain't so.
Is that Chris Siderick with Check the Score? Hey, Chris.
Hey, Tiziana.
So what do we want to invite our callers to tell us about today? You make the ask.
Well, I mean, the big question is, are you excited to see Tom Brady play in his 10th Super Bowl, going for his 7th Super Bowl win, or are you rooting against him? It's kind of a debate I've been having in my own circle of friends, and I'm curious kind of how Pat's Nation is feeling about it. And there's also this narrative going around that we'll get into in a couple of minutes, but some folks are saying this settles the debate. Was it Brady or Belichick? And I've got a few key thoughts on that as well. But the number,
I'm sure,
as
you
always,
do.
1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. Are you excited to see Brady play the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks?
So call in. Our phones are still open. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I, for one, have an ambivalent and queasy feeling. So, Chris, I'm just going to start. I got to believe I already know the answer to this question, but sometimes you surprise me. Are you surprised to see Tom Brady headed to his 10th Super Bowl with the Bucs in his first season there?
You know, I think this is going to be one of those times, because I am actually a little bit surprised. The road that the Bucs had to go to the Super Bowl was pretty tense. They had to win on the road 3 times. Obviously, it's a little bit different. There aren't, you know, stands packed full of people in all of these cities, but that's still tough to do. They had to go through New Orleans and Drew Brees. They had to go through Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. So it was a long road to get to this point. I actually had picked Green Bay going into this game, but there was a moment towards the end of the first half where I just started turning. It was 14-10 Bucks. Literally seconds left on the clock, and then you get this.
Brady goes for the deep shot. He's got a touchdown! Scotty Miller!
Oh, my God!
Chris, are you there?
Yeah. Sorry, we just had to switch here to the phone.
We're having a little bit of a catchy line there.
39-yard perfect strike from Brady. Literally 1 second left on Scotty Miller catches that touchdown. And defense should never allow that.
Just shows to show you how it be.
All right.
And because of that win, Tampa Bay now gets to play the first home Super Bowl of all time.
All right, there you go. There's your sound back, Chris. It's great to have you back with the full sound. I know we've got some calls coming in a minute. So I think I want to ask you, why would you pick Green Bay in that game, knowing that Tom Brady has the ability to surprise everyone when the game is on the line?
I mean, if it comes down to one play game on the line, I'm going to pick Brady. But football's a team sport. You've got 11 guys on the offense, 11 guys on the defense. Green Bay has looked like a Titan all year. Rodgers is, maybe not Brady's peer, but he's definitely one of the elite backs in the league. I wouldn't want him to have the ball in his hand if I was playing against him with the game on the line. And Tampa Bay had some ups and downs this year. And to be fair, Brady's second half was not that great. He threw 3 interceptions in that game. But overall, I think Tampa Bay basically hit their stride about halfway through the year and has looked really tough the last few games going. They're going to be tough to beat in the Super Bowl. However, they are playing an absolute powerhouse in the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, I'm going to go to a call here, 800-423-8255. We are talking about our sports superstars who leave us and how we feel about them after they're gone. Sean's on the line from Brookline. Hey, Sean, what's on your mind?
I'm happy for him. I really am. You know, he showed the loyalty to the Boston teams. He showed loyalty to the Pats, and Kraft didn't do him right. I'm happy for him. I hope he wins, you know, and we ask our sports stars to be loyal to us.
Can't really.
And what happened to him, you know?
Yep. And when you say Kraft, I just want to, for not all of our listeners are sports fans, Sean, you mean Patriots owner Robert Kraft, right?
Absolutely. I apologize. So, you know, he gave loyalty. He gave his all. And look what happened.
And that's what you value. So, there you go. So you're going to root for him.
Good on him.
All right. February 7th, we know how you'll be rooting, Sean. Chris, do we have you back? We're still having a little trouble with the line. Do we have you back?
I'm back. I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah. All right. So listen, so Sean's saying, hey, listen, the Pats did not treat Tom Brady well, but Tom Brady was loyal and so good on him when he goes back to the Super Bowl. This relationship between the team and the quarterback is a thing, and it really has brought up this question. If you've got a great coach and you've got a great player and that makes a great team, is it because one of them or is it the combination? So, you know, this is the Brady versus Belichick. Belichick's on the sidelines. Brady's going to the Super Bowl. Do we have an answer to whether it was one of them or the two of them together?
Question. It's a question that's being asked all over the country as folks try to break down 20 years of greatness that we saw with the Brady-Belichick combo. I don't think it's as simple as one versus the other. There's so many factors. If you go back to the early Super Bowl wins, 2001, 2003, and 2004, those were really defense-run teams. They had incredible up-and-down roster, and Belichick really was a master of game planning and figuring out strengths of the other team and how to stop that. So I think it was a little bit of both, basically. But there is something to a culture of winning, and I think that Tom Brady has basically brought that to Tampa Bay. I got to play a cut here. This is Bruce Arians talking with Dan Patrick on the Dan Patrick Show a couple of weeks ago, and he was asked what's been surprising working with Brady.
The way he handles younger players, he's another coach. I mean, he really is. I mean, the athletic stuff is shocking for a guy 43. But the way he handles young guys and old guys, he's coaching nonstop. And it always pisses me off because I'll say something to a player and they'll look at me. He says it and they go, okay, Tom, I'll do it.
So I love that. Thinking, you totally see that playing out on the field, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, what parent in their life hasn't said, wait a minute, I tell you to do something and you say no. And then your favorite aunt tells you to do it and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, right. But there is something to the fact that Brady was in this organization with this kind of mindset of your job, next man up, that Belichick has established. You know, I always joke with executive producer that who's a Bills fan, I'd say, that organizations are either winning organizations or losing organizations. And it takes a lot to transform the culture top to bottom from a losing organization to a winning organization. And I think you're seeing a little Tampa Bay here, and I think Tom is drawing on his experience in New England to bring that to Bucks.
Okay, and I am going to go to the phones in a minute, but I do want to say, okay, but Tom Brady goes to a new team, and in his first season, they go to the Super Bowl, where Bill Belichick gets another MVP quarterback and has at least a part of the same team he had before, and the Pats, frankly, were bad this year overall.
Yeah, it is fair to say that it has been a bumpy transition at best. I think it all goes back to a couple of years ago. Bill Belichick wanted Jimmy Garoppolo to be the next guy. He wanted out of here a couple of years earlier than Brady actually left. And there was kind of that tension between coach and owner and Brady. And basically, he never kind of found the next guy he wanted to put in that position. Quarterback is one of the most important singular positions in all of sports, just in terms of leadership on the field and the amount of impact they have on the game. So I think rolled the dice with Cam Newton. It was a fair risk. Cam had a lot of upside. Clearly, he is not healthy or he is no longer in his prime. He did not look good this year. He did not be able to throw the ball well. Plus, you have to factor in the Pats had by far the most holdouts due to the COVID pandemic. And you had no offseason. So you had to totally transform your offensive approach, and you didn't get through those offseason workouts. There were kind of a lot of things working against the Pats, but I do think it's fair to say, hey, look, Belichick, you wanted to run this show yourself. Now you've got to show us you can do it. However, to say that the entire 20-year run is all one guy or the other, I just think is an oversimplification.
All right.
Maybe you can make the case 60-40 Brady at this point.
I want to get one more call on this, then we're going to shift gears. Let's hear from Meg in Canton. Meg, go ahead.
I just wanted to say I'll be rooting for Tom Brady on Super Bowl day as if he still played for the Patriots. So incredibly proud of him, and I think he sets a great example for our kids to stick with something, try hard, never give up against all odds.
All right. Hey, Pam, and actually grab one more. PJ. PJ and Randolph. PJ, go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I'd be rooting against Tom Brady this Super Bowl strictly for the reason. Yeah, I know, right? Tom Brady, talking about leadership off the field, his wellness company applied for and received a $1 million PPP loan. And then shortly thereafter, he purchased a $2 million yacht. And what kind of message is that sending to football fans and people that just look up to that guy across the country?
All right, PJ, thanks for that call. Now, I'm not dug into Tom Brady's finances, so I don't know that. But the angle that I'll go with you, Chris,
on
this.
I do know that is true that they did get the PPP loan. And that is a fair criticism. And there are folks who, you know, were upset from the moment that they saw the red hat in the locker. I think from a purely football point of view, folks who say that he kind of turned his back on the team, I just think that argument doesn't quite hold weight. And it kind of reminds me of folks who would say, I don't really want my ex to be happy no matter what happens the rest of her life.
Okay, so Chris, I want to zero in on your red hat comment there, because that takes us to another sports hero who was no longer a hero after he left us here in Boston. Let's talk about that one in the Hall of Fame in baseball.
Yeah, so you're talking about Curt Schilling, who, along with the Republicans on the ballot, will find out tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Time whether or not he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. He was inching closer. Last year, he was at about 70% of the vote. He needs 75% of the vote to get in. Last year, that worked up to 20 votes. So he's a guy who's kind of undermined his own reputation between the failed video game company in Rhode Island.
Chris?
And as you mentioned, yeah, sorry.
So just stop for a second there. So for our listeners who don't know who Curt Schilling is, explain.
Oh, radio, Boston. We don't know who Curt Schilling is. Bloody soft.
It might not, Chris.
He was an ace for the Red Sox, an incredible postseason pitcher, and helped this team get over the hump and break the curse in 2004.
He's the bloody sock guy.
Yeah, exactly. Guy who had to have surgery on the foot and then went and pitched the next day. So he's also, though, I would say a very divisive figure at this point. He was fired from ESPN over transphobic tweets. Right now, from the ballots that we know that have been made public, he's at right about 75%. But that number usually goes down if you count the folks who do not make their ballots public. So it's going to be close. But if I had to guess, I would say I don't think actually anyone is going to get in this year.
And briefly, Chris, that raises a larger issue baseball is going to have to deal with about whether people's activities off the field should figure into whether they're voted as greats on the field, right?
Yeah, not even just activities off the field. Some of them, their activities on the field, a la Clemens, Bonds, and Sosa, guys who we all pretty much are sure did steroids or took HGH, but that ball kind of looked the other way while it was going on. These guys were the best players of their era, and now baseball writers are basically forced to reckon with, do we let them all in? Do we play gatekeeper? Do we try to figure it out? And where do you draw that line? It's going to be interesting to watch.
So, Chris, we've got about 30 seconds left. Last week we lost a baseball great in Henry Aaron, but today you wanted to remind us of a loss of another athlete. So take us out on that.
Yeah, today is actually the one-year anniversary of the helicopter crash that killed 9 people, including Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter. And I just found it really striking that when we looked back at 2020, one of the things, despite the thing that went on since that day in January, one of the things people most was the loss of Kobe Bryant. And, you know, his last tweet was about working with LeBron to grow the game. It just shows you kind of how big the impact he had on basketball fans everywhere really was. And I just wanted to make sure we marked that loss.
I appreciate that, Chris. And that's Radio Boston's Chris Siderick. Thanks, Chris, for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for bearing with the sound. Appreciate it.